This series is funded by Monaghan County Council and the Heritage Council.
You know, when I pull up there in the blue van, they come running to me. Anybody else pulls up, bang, far side of the road.
Hello, I'm Cara Ward, Heritage Officer with Monaghan County Council. And you're very welcome to another episode of Heritage at the Heart. We're here today with Pat McKenna, walking up the foothills of the Slieve Bay Mountain. And Pat's going to tell us a bit about how he manages his farm for conservation.
So we're just in the foothills of Slieve Bay here, just right beside Loughmore, a very scenic area. And I have a farm here, about 70 acres. And I've had this bit of land for about 20 years, over 20 years. And it's a sort of a project, and we bought it 20 years ago as a sort of a keepsake. An old neighbour of ours, a house that we used to ceilidh in, he was great crack, a great raconteur, and we sort of bought it from that perspective. And I suppose the idea from the start was not to farm it too intensively. It was to conserve it a bit, try and keep it the way he kept it, and do a low impact system on it. So to that end, we bought a good few Dexter cattle, which you can see knocking about here. Now, Dexters are a traditional Irish breed. They're quite a small, they're about half the size of your normal continental animal, probably on their hoof weighing about 350 kilos. And perfectly suited to this environment, because the land here is heavy. It's typical North Monaghan land, very heavy, poached quite easily. So the Dexters, their weight creates a very low impact, and they also graze very specific grasses. They'll eat grass that typical continentals won't. Your continental cow prepares to thrive on rye grass, very intensively farmed with a lot of nitrogen, high inputs. And the idea here, as you can see around us, we're standing here just on the face of the hill looking into Loughmore and looking up onto Slieve Bay. A huge variety of plants here. You've got buttercups, we have sedges, we have rushes, we have soft rush, we have hard rush, we have clover, we have pretty much any variety of plant that you could nearly expect in Ireland, nearly anywhere, just on you know, even.
And they thrive even with the
yes.
cattle grazing. So
I suppose the cattle lend themselves to this.
Yes.
Low input means that the ground, as I say, doesn't get poached. It's not intensively grazed. When you look around this ground here, it's not intensively grazed. It's very, very low intensity.
Yes.
And this is part of a project that I am doing in association with Monaghan County Council. And we also was involved with the CAN project and Antasca. We have another farm up on Slieve Bay, a big chunk of land over 1,000 acres that we're doing conservation grazing on as well. And I suppose this lends itself to that, in that up on the mountain there's a massive fire risk. There was a very, very widespread fire there just about a month ago in that dry spell, and there was 4,000 or 5,000 acres burned. And I suppose the project that I'm doing, the end of that project, is there's a grass that grows up on the mountain. It's called Malina grass, which it starts to really grow maybe in this time of the year. The mountain will green up from, say, early July till about August, September. You'll have about 3 months where that Malina grass grows very, very strongly, grows very high. It'll grow a couple of feet high. And I'm putting the cattle up there now anytime. And basically the objective there is to graze that Malina grass down, to get the cattle in amongst it and make wee paths through it, and get it grazed down so that come the winter time when I take the cattle off, that grass is gone. And it doesn't get the chance to die over the winter and form a tinder, which is what sparks the fire. Goes up there camping, or maybe somebody burning a bog bank, or light a barbecue, or X, Y, and Z reasons. Maybe even a piece of glass, the sun reflecting off it, as could have happened in the last fire. A fire ignites, and that Malina grass is a wool. It turns into nearly like wool or tinder, and it just spread. The fire will spread rampantly. I do feel that fire burnt a lot of the mountain Slieve Bay in the northern end. It burned maybe 4,000 or 5,000 acres, but it actually stopped at an area that I grazed 3 years ago. Just stopped right on the border, just maybe 200 or 300 acres of quite high heather, which I wouldn't be grazing anyway, was burned. and the fire stopped at the greener area, which is quite similar to where we're standing, just uh-huh. a green area. The fact that there was no tinder, no burden mm. there for the fire to thrive on, it seems to have halted the fire, which, you know, it means that the efforts that we've been making with the cattle up there is having an impact and having an effect.
That's a big one, because that was a really damaging fire for wildlife, for biodiversity.
5,000-6,000 acres, yeah. You have hen harrier nests up there, and you have a lot of grouse.
Yeah.
You know, what grouse are left in Monaghan are up there, so it's important to try and preserve them.
It's the only
designated
natural heritage site
exactly, yeah.
in Monaghan. It is yeah. really important. So we're walking up the hill here and looking back towards Loughmore, and it's just started to drizzle a bit, but it is absolutely beautiful. You can see right over at Slieve Bay, and so expansive, this whole view up here, isn't it? But in saying that, it's lovely. It's not very peaty in this particular location.
No, this would be sort of your typical heavy North Monaghan, foothills of Slieve Bay type mm-hmm. soil that you're walking on now.
Yeah.
But again, because the dachses are not high impact, it's not poached.
Yeah.
And there's a big diversity of plants and wildlife here. You can hear skylarks here.
Yes.
Which you could happen to walk on a skylark's nest just walking up here,
be
you know.
Careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, come on. Come on. Come on. Here they come.
Here we go, they're coming.
Duck. Cow, sorry.
How long have you had the farm, Pat?
This farm here, about 25 years. And working on Slieve Bay for about 3 years, 4 years.
Right. And how did you get interested in this conservation management?
Well, to be honest with you, I've always had an interest in this.
Yeah.
I was born just a few hundred yards from here. We're right on the border here in County Tyrone.
Uh-huh.
And I was born in an area where there's a lot of forest.
Uh-huh.
Lakes.
A lot of plantation forest, isn't it?
A lot of hills and a lot of heather.
Yeah.
And I suppose spent my youth knocking around here when
the
snow
lark.
Would. Yeah, here. There's the skylark. Look at him.
Look at him, yeah.
Great.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, so I would have spent a youth here, you know, hunting around, tracking animals in the winter time and hares. Good population of Irish hares here. Good population of pheasants. Some grouse. Plenty of deer. Plenty of badgers, plenty of foxes. So, good. And I would have had an interest in that, and I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Curlews as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This field here that we're standing in would have had curlews.
Oh, yes.
Up until a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think curlews basically, they had aged to the point where maybe they weren't breeding anymore.
Right. Uh-huh.
Possibly just because of maybe just heavy predation.
Yeah.
They weren't able to survive. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a very active curlew group in North Monaghan, and I have to compliment them on the work that they're doing to try and preserve the curlew, and I'd love to see curlews back here again. Seen curlews here as recently as 2 years ago, and the call of curlew, it's nearly as good as the skylark. It's phenomenal,
is, it
you
is.
Know.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah,
it's
basically to preserve that. Uh-huh. And I suppose, listen, farming is something that I'm doing a sort of part time. It's getting on now. I'm probably coming close to retirement, and I suppose it's just to try and do something that you enjoy doing, and it's I find it quite therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. You can see the results.
In a way.
I mean,
yeah.
There's an expanse of buttercups here. It's just like
yeah,
a
it's unreal.
It's
yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Now a lot of farmers will count buttercups as a sign of low fertility.
Is that right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's not something I'm usually worried about.
I'm sure you're not.
You know, they're lovely to look at, and
how do you find so because the cattle are better suited to this kind of environment that you don't have to put in as much. You don't have
lower
to
inputs, yeah. Not sowing any fertilizer, and I'll be using farmyard manure a lot. I've concentrated on farmyard manure and just slurry as you have to. In this part of the world, you can't keep cattle out all the time. I do trade out winter as many cattle as I can, but some of them obviously have to be in winter. But you might as well make the best of your farmyard manure and your slurry when you have it
right.
available. And I use that. I don't use any nitrogen inputs, which would be anathema to a lot of farmers, but listen, it works for me, so I'm happy enough.
It looks like it's working pretty well. And how do you manage the cattle then in terms of them roaming? Do they have sort of free rein, or are they...
No, well, this here is paddocked up. The 70 acres here is paddocked up into 10 or 15 acre paddocks, and they can move around that. I would graze it, a paddock maybe for 3 weeks at a time or 4 weeks, and then give it a rest. And then another initiative that we used there 2 or 3 years ago up in Sleeve Bay was we used a no-fence system, which is a collar that goes on the cattle with tracking on it. You use an app on your phone and you can move the perimeters. Anybody who's into tech would have a fair idea of what I'm talking about. And we can use that there to monitor the cattle. It gives a fair bit of health data on the cattle, and you can also keep them enclosed by using that system. Only for that you wouldn't be able to graze that land up there, because it's so open. You're talking about 10,000 acres up there of land, and your cattle disappear, where are they? So at least with the no fence, you can go on the app, and if the animal still has a collar on it, you'll be able to find it and you'll be able to check a status. And it has worked really well, I must say.
Fantastic.
And I must credit to the Admiral Group Water Scheme and the River Blackwater Catchment Trust. They sponsored that product, and Antasco were also very beneficial, so I must give them credit for their help in doing that. But I think it has paid off in the medium term, because, as I say, that fire up there didn't have the impact, particularly in the south, in the areas that are being conservation grazed, as it could have. Just to get your bearings, you're looking straight up into Sleeve Bay there. Just follow my finger up there. That's the southern part of Sleeve Bay. Then you come around, you're looking over into Fermanagh over here. You're looking away towards Fintna. Then coming back around, straight over there is Knockmany. You've heard of it. Offer's just right there. On around Ballygolly. Dungannon just out here. And then just right down between those hills there, you can't just see it quite at the minute. Ochnacloy. You can see it over there. And then back round, if we're just a bit further over, you'd be able to see the cathedral just here. So that's your bearings, you know.
It's pretty, nearly 360.
360 essentially, you know. So great views, phenomenal views here, you know.
Where are these cows?
Here's them coming now, come on.
Give them a few of these.
Come on. So these are the Daxter cows, Cara. You were asking me earlier on about the Daxters. You can see the size of them. The calves obviously are very small, not much bigger than a good dog. We'll see them in a minute. And again, a lot of farmers wouldn't have much time for them. And I suppose 5 or 6 years ago, when I concentrated a lot on the Daxters and their beef is quite high end. It's perceived to be a high value product, but in real terms right now, continental cattle are where it's at. For the simple reason that beef prices have gone through the roof. Beef now is €8.50 a kilo in the factories. You'll know it in the butcher shop, or you'll know it in the supermarkets when you go in to buy beef. So the thing is working slightly for farmers who are farming. A continental cow now is worth three and a half grand, whereas one of my cows maybe 1500, you know. But pound for pound, is as efficient. She's half the size, so she's making half the price. And the beef is a desirable product, and there are good markets for it, and there's a premium, still a premium, over that €8 or so that commercial farmers are getting
it's sort of like an artisanal product.
It's an artisanal product, and there's, you know, suppose if you go into some fancy restaurant, it's a product that you'll see, you know, it and Wagyu are a sort of in competition at the minute, you know. But again, Daxter is, the fact that it's very traceable, the fact that it's coming from here, you can look around, you've got the skylarks, you've got the buttercups, you've got clover, you've got a phenomenal environment here. There's huge traceability to it. So, you know, that has to be an added bonus to it. And one other thing, I suppose, is I have to say, in the acre scheme and in the glass schemes and the different schemes that the government have promoted in the last 10 or 15 years, they have created a subsidy for Daxters, around about 200 or 250 head per cow or per breeding animal. And that has encouraged a lot of farmers into getting Daxters. There are a few more. When I started off here, I suppose people were laughing at me because they were seeing it as sort of cut allergy, what I was getting into. But right now, there are, I could take you to farmers quite close to here that have Daxters. And particularly over in Cavan, I suppose, where there's a lot of heavy land, a big population of men pushing Daxters.
They're better suited almost than sheep, are they?
Better suited than sheep. For the simple reason that, I suppose, hey, listen, you come out here, the money's not that plentiful. Mm-hmm. Sheep fencing is very expensive.
Right.
And I suppose you could say, listen, why do you not use the collars on sheep? But the collars are £250 a piece, and I wouldn't be able to afford them, but for the fact
that
they're sponsored by the County Council and sponsored by the Black Tavernet Group Watherscheme and the Blackwater Trust. Mm-hmm. So if you have 500 sheep, well, you're not going to buy 500 collars at 200 or 250 quid a head.
True.
But I think cattle are probably, for this type of land, maybe are better grazers.
Yeah.
You know, sheep are good grazers, but the sheep are like lawnmowers. They'll graze up and down, you know, and there'll be very little left.
They're not selective.
And I suppose sheep are high management, you know.
Yeah.
Sheep, listen, if you're a young fella, and I know plenty of young lads around here that are into sheep and they're doing well at sheep, but they're 25 and 30 years of age and they're young and fit and they're motivated. But come, give them 30 years or so.
Right.
You know, the Dexters are some of the maybe more traditional Irish breeds, like the Kerries or the Drummonds or some of the Irish Moyles might become more attractive.
And the Dexter is an Irish breed, essentially.
Yeah, Dexter will be a breed that originated in Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say they're bred off the Kerry cattle with maybe some Irish Moyle, and I think maybe there might be some wee taste of Angus in them if you go back far enough too, just to create that beefiness and maybe a bit of docility, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they originated down in the southwest of Erin. They were seen as a sort of a householder's farm, you know.
Right.
A small holding down there, maybe 5 or 6 acres, would have one Dexter cow, and that Dexter cow would have a calf. You would keep the calf, but you'd also milk her. Great milk.
Right, okay.
Very high in omega-3 and all the things that are right on at the minute.
Uh-huh.
So that's why the people were so healthy then. But yeah, they were a sort of an ideal smallholder's cow, you know, and I suppose you should have a calf every year. You could sell that calf on, and you could, or if you wanted, you could run it on to finish, and you could have the beef and have the benefit of that. So that's where they came from. And
so how many do you have? Did you say?
I have around 100 here at the minute.
100,
you know,
yeah.
100 of them.
And they're a docile animal.
Reasonably docile. Reasonably. They're like other cattle. Some of them are very docile, and some of them are just not quite as.
Personality.
There's a wee start. There can be a wee start in some of them, you know. But listen, they're probably no better or no worse than any other cattle. I suppose the fact that you're dealing with two Dexter cows to one Continental, there's a bit more management on them because you have to have bigger numbers to achieve your aims if you want to be viable as a farm. But hey, I'm happy enough for them.
It's a fantastic.
Yeah,
initiative, and I think it's obviously been a real success. So,
it's reasonably successful. You know, where you try your best in anything that you do.
Have you seen a difference just in the appearance of the land since?
I would have. You know, like when we come here, and I suppose if you look at a lot of ground in North Monaghan, maybe not so much now, but 10 or 15 years ago, a lot of farmers were pushing their farms very hard, putting a lot of slurry on and putting a lot of nitrogen on, and I suppose the weather deteriorated a lot. You had a couple of very, very wet years, and that makes farming a struggle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get onto the ground, you can't get the slurry out, you can't get the tanks emptied.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes I would have that problem, but I'm not under as much pressure from that point of view,
yeah.
I suppose, and I'm not pushing to grow a huge amount of grass.
Working with nature, and that's what you're doing.
My strategy is basically
nature.
To use clover as the driver. Clover fixes nitrogen, and as you look around, here, you'll see loads of clover.
Absolutely.
And this is bad owl high ground. You wouldn't call it clover ground, but
no, there's plenty of it.
When you have clover, you're going to have grass. You can see loads of clover there. It's in bloom at the minute. It looks lovely.
Yeah.
If you have clover and you cultivate your clover and nurture your clover, you'll grow as much grass as you want.
There
you won't have to put in the huge nitrogen inputs.
Yeah, it just goes to show that approach does work, you know.
Does work, yeah, but it takes time. You know, I'm at it 15, 20 years trying to get clover to establish itself and trying to preserve it. Mm-hmm. But if you give clover a chance, and the milkmen and the commercial men are discovering that now as well. A lot of reseeding has been done this last while, and Chagas, even on the advisory bodies, are encouraging farmers to sow a high clover mix, and I see a lot of farmers are doing that, and they're using clover as a way to save inputs, and also basically it's nice to be able to grow grass without having to go out with a tractor and put a huge amount of nitrogen on.
If you have to do less yourself.
And from an environmental point of view, obviously nitrogen is there is leaching. Leaches into lakes.
Absolutely.
And I suppose for the last 20 years I have avoided putting slurry on this end of the farm because of the lake here. Because I'm so close to the lake, and again I've avoided pesticides. I don't use any pesticides. There's no spraying going on here. It's just topping and the use of farmyard manure and a bit of shorn to try and keep it dry. So it's basically for the general. Try and generally do a bit of good. The calves are cute wee boys, aren't they?
Oh, they are just adorable. Yeah. How old are they now?
Ach, they're probably a fortnight or 3 weeks then, wee boys.
That's right.
Lovely wee things. They're cute. They're inquisitive. I keep the horns on them. Well, they're sort of in the rare breeds. You can there's a sort of unwritten dispensation where you can have horns on cattle. So I keep the horns on them. Now listen.
Yeah.
I suppose there's a bit less work. You're not dehorning, and slightly less cruelty, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But I like them with the horns. They look more traditional, maybe, with the horns on them. You know.
They do. You're not used to seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. The common three colours in the main, most of what I have are black. I have a few reds, but there would be a sort of a dun as well, which would be a sort of an in-between, sort of an orangey colour, you know, which I have one or two of, but it's a recessive quite.
They ran away now.
Come on, come on, come on.
What notion did they take just?
A calf does a wee bit of a run, you see, and they all run.
The
chances are they'll come back, you know. Yeah, there's a chance they'll come back, but... Ach, that's the nature of them, you know. They have a big run here, and they can
have a lot of freedom.
Knock about.
Yeah.
All it takes is a calf to make a wee start in the whole thing.
There's the lark.
Departs,
again.
You know. Lark's very prominent now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. We haven't seen the hen harrier yet, but maybe.
No, the chances you would see one, but yeah, maybe just knocking about at the minute. But there's plenty of other stuff, so plenty to see.
And look, Pat, the weather has just lifted there. The rain has stopped, and I can kind of see all around. It's absolutely beautiful up here. I imagine you come up here most days, do you?
Yeah, I come here pretty much every day. And my father lives quite close to here. He's 92 years of age in a couple of weeks' time, and I call with him generally every day for a half an hour. Then I take a dander up here and I look around me, and I find it quite therapeutic.
It's well
to come
done.
Here.
It's,
yeah.
It's fantastic. Thanks for showing us around.
Thanks
today.
Very much.
All
Cara,
the best.
Thank you
Talk
very much
you
for
soon.
Coming out and listening to me.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank you. Thank you.